He turned away from the screen and called softly, "Bring the child."
Adra came through from the next room, leading Nicholas by the hand.
Ramon studied him as carefully as he had the boy's mother.
Adra had washed his hair for him that morning. His curls, shiny and springing, tumbled onto his forehead. She had dressed him in a plain, short-sleeved shirt and short cotton trousers. His limbs were slim and smoothly tanned, his lips were a sensitive pink, and his brows were darkly curved over his huge, solemn eyes. He would break any mother's heart.
"Do you remember what I told you, Nicholas?"
"Sí, padre."
"You will meet a very kind lady. She likes you very much. She has a present for you. You will be nice to her, and you will call her Mama."
"Is she going to take me away from Adra?"
"No, Nicholas. She has come only to talk to you for a while and give you a present, and then she will go away. Will you be nice to her? If you are, Adra will let you watch a Woody Woodpecker video this evening. Would you like that?"
"Oh, sí, yes, padre."
Nicholas smiled happily at the promise. "Now off you go now."
Ramon turned back to the shuttered window and looked through the slats. In the courtyard below, one of the KGB women was leading Isabella out into the sunlight. She pointed to the bench beside the swimming pool, and her voice was amplified through the directional microphone that the signals clerk trained on her.
"Please to wait here. The child will come to you."
The woman turned away, and Isabella went to the bench. She sat down, and took a pair of sunglasses from her handbag, and placed them over her eyes. From behind the dark lenses, she studied her surroundings covertly. Ramon depressed the transmit button on his two-way radio.
"All stations, this is number one. Full alert. The contact is in progress." Apart from the electronic surveillance equipment, Isabella now had a 7.62mm Dragunov sniper's rifle and a dart gun aimed at her. The dart gun was loaded with tetanol and would immobilize a human victim within 2 minutes. Ramon had 2 10-milligram vials of nalophene on hand as an antidote. Even as a last resort, he did not want to risk losing such a potentially valuable operative as Red Rose. Abruptly, Isabella leapt to her feet and stared across the courtyard. Ramon glanced down. Directly below the tower, Adra and Nicholas had appeared. He could see the tops of their heads. With a supreme effort, Isabella prevented herself from rushing across the lawn and sweeping her son into her arms. She knew intuitively that such an action on her part would confuse and distress the child. He was at the age when any boy hated to be treated like a baby. Isabella had studied her copy of Dr. Spock until it was tired and dog-eared. Slowly, she removed her sunglasses and remained still. Nicholas hung onto Adra's hand and studied his mother with great interest. Isabella had thought she was prepared for his physical appearance. The last photograph she had of him was only 2 months old, but it was nothing like the reality. It could not capture his colouring, nor the texture of his skin, nor those curls, and those eyes. Oh, those eyes. "Oh, God," she whispered. "He's the loveliest child. There could never be another like this. Oh, please, God, help him to like me."
Adra tugged gently at Nicholas's hand, urging him forward, and they skirted the swimming pool and stopped in front of her.
"Buenos dias, señorita Bella,"
Adra said softly in Spanish.
"Nicholas likes to swim. There is a costume for both you and Nicholas if you want to swim with him. They are in the cabaña." She pointed to the shuttered door of the bathhouse. "You may change in there."
Then she looked down at Nicholas.
"Greet the lady, your mother,"
she instructed him gently, and released his hand. She turned and hurried from the courtyard, leaving them alone together. Nicholas had not smiled or taken his eyes from Isabella's face. Now he stepped forward dutifully and held out his right hand.
"Good day, Mama. My name is Nicholas Machado, and I am pleased to meet you."
Isabella wanted to drop on her knees and hug him with all her strength. The word Mama had stabbed through her heart like a bayonet. Instead, she took his hand and shook it carefully.
"You are a fine young man, Nicholas. I hear that you are doing very well at nursery school."
"Yes," Nicholas agreed.
and next year I'm going to join the Young Pioneers.
That will be nice for you, Isabella nodded.
Who were the Young Pioneers, Nicholas?
Everybody knows. He was obviously amused by her ignorance. They are the sons and daughters of the Revolution.
Oh, that's wonderful, Isabella went on hastily.
I have brought a present for you.
Thank you, Mama.
Uncontrollably, Nicholas's eyes slid towards the package.
Isabella sat on the bench and handed him the gift, and Nicholas squatted in front of her and unwrapped it carefully. Then he was silent.
Do you like it? Isabella asked nervously. It's a soccer ball, Nicholas pronounced.
Yes, do you like it?
It's the best gift anybody has ever given me, he said.
He looked up at her, and she saw in his eyes that despite his formal, stilted speech, he truly meant it. What a reserved, self-possessed little old man he is, she thought. What terrible events and nightmares have made him like this.
I have never played soccer, Isabella told him. Will you teach me?
You're a girl, Nicholas looked doubtful. Still, I'd like to try.
All right.
He stood up with the ball under one arm.
But you'll have to take your shoes off.
Within minutes, all the child's reserves evaporated. He shrieked with excitement as he dribbled and darted after the ball. He was nimble as a field mouse, and Isabella raced after him, laughing with him, obeying his instructions and allowing him to score 5 goals between the legs of the bench. When at last they both collapsed on the lawn, Nicholas informed her between gasps,
"You are quite good for a girl."
They changed into swimming costumes, and Nicholas gave her an exhibition of his prowess. First, he swam a length dog paddle, and her praises were so fulsome that he declared, "I can do a wits underwater. Watch me." He almost made it across, and surfaced just short of the bar, blowing and huffing and red-faced. Sitting waist-deep on the shallow-end steps, Isabella felt a moment of physical revulsion as she remembered the last time she had seen her son immersed. But she managed to smile and sound enthusiastic. "Oh, well done, Nicholas!" He came up to her, still puffing for breath, and without warning climbed into her lap.
"You are pretty," he said. "I like you."
Carefully, as though he might shatter like a precious crystal, she wrapped her arms around him and held him. Through the cool water, his body was warm and slippery, and she could feel her heart twist and tear within her.
"Nicholas," she mumbled. "Oh, my baby, how I love you. How I miss you."
The afternoon passed like a flash of sheet lightning in a summer sky, and then Adra came to fetch him.
"It is time for Nicholas's dinner. Do you wish to eat with him, signorita?"
They ate al fresco at a table that Adra set for them in the courtyard. They shared a baked besugo, a sea bream from the Atlantic, and salads. There was a glass of fresh orange juice for Nicholas and a sherry for her. Isabella shredded the flesh of the bream to remove any bones, but Nicholas fed himself. As Nicholas was finishing his ice cream, Isabella's vision began to swim. She heard a rushing in her ears, and Nicholas's face seemed to expand and blur. Adra caught her before she slipped from the chair, and Ramon stepped into the courtyard from the doorway behind her. The 2 KGB women followed him.
"You have been a good boy, Nicholas," Ramon said. "Now go off to bed with Adra."
"What is wrong with the nice lady?"
"There is nothing wrong," Ramon told him. "She is just very sleepy."
"You are sleepy too, Nicholas."
"Yes, padre."
At the suggestion, he yawned and rubbed his eyes with the backs of his fists. Adra led him away, and Ramon nodded at the waiting women. "Take her to the room." While they lifted Isabella out of the chair, Ramon picked up the empty sherry glass from the dinner table and wiped out the last traces of the drug with his handkerchief. Isabella woke in a strange bedroom. She felt rested and at peace. The early sun streamed in through the slats of the shuttered window. She blinked drowsily and pulled the single sheet up around her naked shoulders. She wondered, without any real urgency, where she was, but her memory was fuzzy. She was suddenly aware that she was totally nude under the sheet. She lifted her head.
Her clothing was neatly folded on the chair beside the open bathroom door. Her suitcase was on the luggage rack. Then, out of the corner of her eye, she caught a movement, and she stiffened and came fully awake. There was a man in the bedroom with her. She opened her mouth to scream, but he signalled her urgently to silence. "Rap!" she started to say his name. But with two rapid paces, he reached the bedside and laid his open hand on her lips to keep her from speaking. She stared at him, stunned and completely bemused. "Ramon!" Joy rose in her like a spring tide. He left her and crossed quickly to the nearest wall of the bedroom. On it hung a dark oil painting in the style of Goya. Ramon swiveled the painting to one side to reveal a hidden microphone the size of a silver dollar attached to the wall. Once again, he made a gesture to silence her and came back. He lifted the shade off the lamp on the bedside table and showed her the second microphone taped to the stand below the bulb. Then he leant so close to her that his warm breath fanned her cheek.
"Come."
He touched her bare shoulder through the sheet. It had been so long that despite her happiness, she felt strange and shy in his presence.
"I will explain. Come."
His eyes were so full of pain and suffering that she felt her joy waver. He took her hand that held the sheet to her chin and drew her, suddenly unresisting, from the bed. Still holding her hand, he led her stark naked to the bathroom. She was unaware of her nudity, and she staggered a little from the after-effects of the drug. In the bathroom, Ramon flushed the toilet, opened the taps in the hand basin and in the bath, and switched on the shower in the glass-walled cabinet. Then he came back to her. She drew away from him, afraid to touch him. Her naked back was pressed to the cold tiles.
"What is happening to us? Are you one of them, Ramon? I am so confused. Please tell me what is happening."
His marvellous features contorted with agony.
"I am like you. I have to cooperate for Nikki's sake. I can't explain now. Forces greater than we are. We have been caught up, all three of us. Oh, my darling, how I have wanted to hold you and explain it all to you. But I have so little time. Ramon, tell me you still love me," she whispered timidly. "Yes, my darling, more than I ever did. I know what hell you must have lived through. I have shared it with you, every moment of it. I know what you must have thought of me. One day you will understand that everything I have done has been for Nikki and for you." She wanted to believe him desperately. Wildly she wanted it to be true. "Soon," he whispered, taking her face between his cupped hands. "Soon we will be together, just the three of us. You and Nikki and me. You must trust me."
"Ramon!"
It came out as a choking sob, and she wound both arms around his neck and clung to him with all her strength. Against all reason or logic, she believed him completely.
"We have only a few minutes together. We dare not risk more. It is so dangerous. You can never know what terrible danger Nikki is in. And you also," her voice quavered. "My life does not matter. It's Nikki."
"Both of you," she denied it. "You are both so precious. Promise me that you will do nothing to harm Nikki." He kissed her mouth. "Please do whatever they say. It will not be for much longer. I will get us free of this thing, if you will help me. But you must trust me, oh my love. Oh my darling. I knew deep down. I knew there must be a reason. Of course I trust you, my heart. Be strong for all of us."
"I swear it to you," she nodded violently, her face smeared with tears. "Oh, God, how I love you. I have suppressed it so long."
"I know, my darling. I know."
"Please, please make love to me, Ramon. I've been without you for so long. I've been withering away. Make love to me before you have to go."
He took her quickly, and yet it crashed over her like the winds of a hurricane and left her shattered. When he was gone, breaking away with a last long lingering kiss, her legs could no longer support her. She sank slowly down the tiled wall and sat on the floor with her legs sprawled jointlessly under her. The taps roared and billows of steam filled the room. She didn't understand it at all. She didn't have to, and she didn't care any more. All that mattered was Nikki and Ramon.
"Oh, thank God," she whispered. "It wasn't true.
None of the horrors was true. Ramon loves me still. We will be all right, the three of us. We'll come through this together, somehow, sometime. She dragged herself to her feet. Now I must pull myself together. They mustn't suspect. She staggered to the shower. She was still in bra and panties when, without a knock, the door opened and the large, heavy-featured woman who had escorted her from the airport and had conducted that dreadful body search entered the room. She looked at Isabella's body in a way that made Isabella's flesh crawl, and she stepped hurriedly into the skirt of her grey suit. "What do you want?"
"You leave in 20 minutes to the airport."
"Where is Nicky? Where is my son?"
"Child has gone."
"I want to see him, please."
"It's not possible. Child has gone."
Isabella felt the ebullient mood of hope, which her brief interlude with Ramon had raised, begin to evaporate. The nightmare begins again, she thought, and tried to steel herself against the creeping sense of despair.
"I must trust Ramon. I must be strong."